3-0, entity of 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Sound Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. Coming at you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll, that is Austin, Texas. I am Chris Jordan, your host. And today on the Talking Sound Podcast, we actually have our very good friend, Jamal Knox. How you been doing, man?
Very good.
Fantastic. We have actually been here in Austin the last couple days working a scenic gig together.
Yes.
In Austin for Dell Computers. And that has been a treat, to say the least.
Yeah.
Doing some scenic work. It takes me back to my roots in theater. but Jamal is actually a local audio engineer as well as a local musician, and that's why we're having him on today. So tell us a little bit about the two projects that you're in, Jamal, The Wanderers and Good Day Paradise.
Okay, so I'll start with Good Day Paradise. They're a pop punk band local here in Austin. Mm-hmm. They're some of them are from San Marcos, and they're just a group of guys who I knew in high school. We used to compete in bands in high school, and after high school they started doing some things. That they came to me that they wanted a record done. I said, hey, I'll do a record for you. It was my first record that I've done, and I'm super proud of it.
Nice.
They came out, it's been a huge success for them. They needed guitarists, so I decided, you know what, since I already sort of recorded on the record anyways, let's go ahead and, you know, let's do it. You know, let's,
heck yeah,
let's play out with them.
And how long have you guys been together as that lineup?
That's only been for the past 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah, about half a year.
And how have things been received?
It's been good. It's been real good, actually. I mean, anybody who's come from like their earlier fans will all say that they like it with two guitars better than one.
Oh, you know? Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. And what about The Wanderers? That band, you actually switch instruments and you play drums.
I play drums, yes. That one's actually kind of a funny story because I was in school for audio engineering.
Uh-huh.
And our final project, I worked with a guy, and he actually found this guy. His name is Jeremy Booth. He's the leader for The Wanderers, I guess. We'll say the leader.
Okay.
But we linked up. Originally, the class had me do a project. We were supposed to mix these guys. His drummer didn't show up for the session one day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I said, whatever, I'll just jump in on the session real quick. Never heard the song before. We played it, sounded great. Mixed it. He loved the stuff. He decided, hey, let's do a record together. And so,
nice.
So we've been making a record for the past 4 months as well. But about four or five months.
Oh, wow.
We've
fantastic.
Been doing this record. We just finished today, actually.
Oh, great.
I just sent the last of the masters today.
Oh,
so well, yeah.
That's great. How many tracks is the album?
The album is 9 tracks.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I mean, we definitely need to get you guys in the studio here.
Have
y'all on the podcast, because, I mean, we love having local artists on.
Yeah.
All kinds
sweet.
Of stuff.
Yeah, the boys would love it. Yeah.
I mean, which one would you say that you, because you're kind of like me, you play multiple instruments,
mm-hmm.
Neither guitar nor drums, if I'm not mistaken, are actually your first instrument.
No, neither one
of them. What was your first instrument?
Piano, actually.
Piano.
Yes.
And I've actually heard you play. You play very well.
I appreciate it.
And it's great. I love meeting people that are Swiss Army knives,
yeah,
as I put it.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah, and you're definitely one of those where not only, are you a Swiss Army knife as far as music goes, but you're a Swiss Army knife as far as a tech goes.
Yeah, I've
you're,
done a lot of
you're
things,
multi-disciplined as far as that. And where did you go to school for audio?
I actually went to ACC.
Okay.
But most of my training actually began before that.
All right.
I met a guy.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I met a guy in high school. His name was Brian. He's an engineer around town, Brian Ramos.
Okay.
And he actually ran this after-school program called Beat Lab. And he just, from the minute I saw him do what he did, I was just really big into making music back then. And he was able to make my shit sound awesome. And I was like, okay, I want to do what you do, because I want to be a maker of awesome shit.
Okay.
And so he sort of took me under his wing, and I've known him for ever since. It's been about 4 or 5 years now, and then one of my best friends. And that's how I started. He got me my first job with the Austin Film Festival, and I started out interning, cutting podcasts, actually, for, their, for their podcast.
Fantastic.
And
well, welcome home.
Yeah, I know, right? Right back to podcast life, yeah.
Absolutely. And, well, and how long have you been at it? How long have you been out plying your trade, so to speak?
It's been about 4 or 5 years now, actually.
Okay.
I started pretty early. I just did what little jobs I could. I mean,
yep. Well, and it's interesting, you know, because Austin really is one of those towns where, you know, whenever I lived in Portland, Maine, people would ask me about it. And I'm like, it's just like Portland, just without the ocean view.
Yeah.
The attitude's the same. The population, you know, compared to size is about the same. And really, the talent base is about the same. Austin is really one of those statistically musical towns where literally every 10th dude plays guitar.
Yeah, and they're always real good.
Like, they're good at it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's funny because it's almost the same way with audio engineers.
Yeah.
You know, you could throw a rock and with a decent wind probably hit someone that runs sound.
Yeah. Or has done it,
for a friend, you know.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or is going to school actively for it.
Yeah. Which funnily enough doesn't actually turn into much for some of these guys that I've sort of seen. I wonder why that is.
You know, I'm someone who took internships to get my way in and to get my foot in. I went to school for a little while, but most of what I know was learned on the job, out in the field.
Me too.
And as someone who went to school for it, of course you rely on your education quite a bit, I'm sure.
Well,
but
yeah, I'll never say don't go to college, but in my case, I think as far as audio engineering went, I didn't learn as much as I sort of built connections and began to build connections. Sometimes it was with relationships, others it was with certain pieces of the industry that I hadn't quite connected. So I learned a lot about the business side, not quite the technical side. But by the time I went to school for it, I'd already sort of done it enough, and I'd done enough research for some reason that I didn't feel like I actually learned so much as I grew appreciation.
Okay.
And this is more. I learned more street knowledge, or more book knowledge that sort of helped connect the street knowledge. Is what I mean.
All right.
So,
all right. Kind of helped meld the two worlds together, so to speak. And that's really even whenever I spoke with the AES students with the Art Institute of Houston, that's the advice that I gave them. Is, you know, I will never say that an education in this is not the way to go. I know numerous people that went to Full Sail and do great. But like we were saying the other day at lunch, the people that I know that went to Full Scale that did great, the people that I know that went to ACC or HCC or Art Institute that did great, are the people that put just as much work outside of the bounds of school.
Exactly.
As they did in school. Mm-hmm. Like if they were going 15, 20 hours a week, they were in studios or out in the field 15, 20 hours a week, rolling cables, learning stuff from the ground up.
Exactly.
And putting their time in. So it really was the meld of the two worlds together that brought them the success that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm glad to see somebody else who has actually been through those rungs talking about that and saying that. You know, before the show, we were actually talking a little bit about processes.
Sure.
And a lot of my process is actually environment.
Sure.
I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit of a hippie in some rights. I guess it goes to my Chinese zodiac. I'm a rabbit.
Okay.
Which the rabbit is not only curious in nature, but a nester.
Sure.
Whenever I move into a space, like, I got to have my stuff up. Like, it's got to be my space. I have to own it.
It's got to feel like home.
Exactly. And I consider that very much the same. Even whenever I go out and work a gig, I'm normally 30 minutes early just so I can settle in.
Yeah.
And make my space my space.
Okay.
You know, and
I get that.
Yeah. And for me, that's very much a part of the process. You know, whenever I'm turning things on, even here in the podcast studio, it's very much a mantra, you know, going through, turning things on, getting things right, and preparing my space for the thought to come out. What is some of your process whenever you're writing, whenever you're going through and creating music or getting ready for a session, Jamal?
Okay. I'm very actually process-oriented. Like, mm-hmm. I do things pretty much the same every time. My process currently is I have a piano at home that I sit on. So I take my laptop out of my bag because my laptop always goes with me. Mm-hmm. Get it up. Set up my interface, my speakers, or sometimes it's just headphones and, you know, my drives and stuff. And then I turn on the piano and then I just play. And I play whatever, you know, I get in the zone. I just play really just anything I can think of. And then I start picking stuff that I like.
Okay.
That I hear that I'm like, okay, just any four notes, any five notes, you know, any chord, just and start putting them together. If I'm writing like a piano piece or a music piece. And then I start to think of what I'm thinking of, you know, like what's going on in my life, you know, what's going to make me want to write a song the most or something. Like if I'm actively trying to write a song, like, and
all right.
this is if I'm not even, you know, being genre specific, if I'm just.
Yeah, sure. Just the emotion behind it.
Exactly.
You know, what's driving it.
And I'll start that. And, you know, sometimes I'll write something, sometimes I won't. But, you know, either way, I've played and I felt good about it. And then I usually just work on somebody else's session or something like that if the juices aren't flowing.
Okay.
And then if they are flowing, then I record a track. And sometimes I'll start here and I'll jam out to the studio, you know what I mean, and just lay down a drum track, lay down a bass track, you know, get some vocals in. And there's a demo cut right there, you know, just to wrap my head around it and stuff like that. Then I start really learning it. And
now, where do you actually record at?
So I record out of a place called Million Dollar Sound.
Okay.
That's down south. Buddy of, or actually a professor at the ACC, he got me hooked up there. So
all
he
right.
owns the place, actually. So.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Now, what kind of tracking space do you normally use whenever you're there? Are you more of a analog guy, or are you a digital? Or
It's mostly digital there, but it's not like, it's not super crazy hues. It's more of a good room. It's just a good room with an interface in it, really,
okay.
to be honest with you. I mean, it's just, it's a great place to record because it's not very distraction. It's not a lot of distractions.
Well, and that was one of the things that we were talking about was actually space itself and having a clear space mm-hmm. in which to work. To me, it's utmost. One of my biggest phrases is the battle for horizontal space.
Sure.
As musicians,
it's the final frontier.
Yeah. I mean, we are as ADD as you can get.
Yeah.
That's half of what the muse is the just disconnected part of our brain that's going everywhere. And it's a beautiful thing, and it can also be a very hurtful and distractful thing.
Oh, yes, yes, I can get it.
And, you know, having a bunch of things around your space that you're recording in, around your space that you're writing in, can really be a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, even because I've been on the road for about 2-3 weeks with gigs, I walk into my space at home. I was telling you earlier, I did some internet coding there today for my dad's website. I could not get out of that place fast enough.
Oh, my gosh.
And it hurts me to say that because that is, like, where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I love that space. But,
it's just too impressive.
Man, there's microphones all over the place and cables coiled up on my recording console and a couple of laptops thrown.
Man.
It's like somebody took the Scarecrow apart and just threw wires all over my studio right now. Mm-hmm. It's horrifying, the state that it's in.
I get like that, too, because I'll go home sometimes and, you know, try to get in my space, but I can't do it because my kitchen's, like, a mess or something.
Yeah.
If, like, the space around me, or I won't eat if my kitchen's a mess.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
yeah, because you literally just don't want to add to the mess, man. That's more than I have to pick up later.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. And playing, it just makes you crazy. It's just
absolutely. Yeah. Well, and it really does distract from the task at hand, and it can keep the creativity away.
Yeah.
Like we were saying before the podcast, it's the fact that by the time you've gotten your space ready,
mm-hmm.
and it's taken you 30, 40 minutes to straighten up and get things right, you know, where nothing is in your way.
You're done.
You're done. You've tapped your energy already.
Yeah.
And how many times is that the case?
Yeah.
One of it. interesting that you were bringing up metal before the show. One of my favorite bands, actually, is Pantera.
Oh, yes.
I love Pantera, big Texas rock fan. And one of my favorite quotes about that is actually from Dimebag Darrell. And they asked them in an interview years ago, I want to say it was in Guitar Player, you know, how they come up with the licks that they have.
Yeah.
You know, like, your licks are so signature and so epic. How do you write those? And he's like, honestly, half the time it's in mid-jam.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember it. It's the fact that I record every rehearsal.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that a lot, and I've really tried to start to do that.
Yeah, and I started doing it with bands years ago, that every rehearsal I came to, we would at least have some sort of recording, everybody would bring a thumb drive, and you walked off with an MP3 of rehearsal.
Yeah.
Don't listen to it tonight, because you'll pick yourself apart, but listen to it tomorrow on the way to work.
Yeah.
Between rehearsals, listen to it, just like football footage.
That's actually really smart.
You know?
That's a good idea, too, because that's something I could definitely bring.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it's something so simple. Yeah. You know, I mean, most of the time you've got some sort of four-banger mixer or something set up in the rehearsal space for vocals to go through.
Exactly.
You'll at least have a reference.
Yeah.
But for everybody to go through between Tuesday and Friday's rehearsal and listen to that,
and listen,
you know, that was a sweet part, and be able to go back and listen to it again. That's how you find the gold.
Yeah,
you know, that just existed for that 20, 30 seconds. It was like, that was epic. What'd you do, man? I have no idea.
Let's figure it out.
Yeah, you know, and like with that recording, you can go back and find it.
Okay.
Without it, you know, you're kind of lost.
Yeah.
So it was one of the biggest tips ever. And since then, I mean, you can even look right over there and you see the little thing that says record.
Yeah.
It's set up. Like, as soon as I do anything, I can either pop in a thumb drive or pop in a CD and just start recording.
Nice.
And
you're just ready.
It's raw session. Yeah. It's whatever. I'm always tracking. Mm-hmm. I'm always recording. If I run across something cool, at least I didn't lose it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
that's
nice.
Really important too, to really have it, because I think a lot of people misjudge that too. You know?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, number one, they're afraid of it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
You know, because they start to think perfectionist. They start to think studio.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily about that so much as, imagine if you had a court stenographer sitting in the corner typing all the lyrics that were randomly coming out of your mouth while you were writing chords.
You're ready. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, for years I wanted something, and what's odd is Dragon software now is hugely accurate.
Really?
Hugely accurate.
I hadn't heard that.
Oh, man. It is crazy accurate now. I've actually thrown in copies of the podcast.
Uh-huh.
And in 5 minutes, it spits out an entire transcript.
Really?
And it's word for word, man.
Wow, man.
And
whoa.
I have seriously considered doing it with my acoustic stuff whenever I'm just sitting around noodling and, you know, coming up with lyrics, whatever. You know, to be able to just throw that into Dragon and see what comes out, see what I was just noodling around with in my head with vocals. Things like that are incredible, and the technology has gotten there now with notation software, stuff like that.
You can start to notate, like, guitars and stuff
that it can literally go through and notate chords that you're making and stuff like that.
Wow, complex.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Wow.
The tools that are available, that with a simple, easy recording, you can actually go through and just
pick
find,
apart the song.
Yeah,
yeah, like,
pick apart what you were noodling
sort of,
around
yeah.
with. So it's great. There are really some fantastic tools out there for the composer and for people that are willing to put that little bit of effort in there.
Wow.
You know, so.
Got to use it. The tools are there.
Well, that's just it. You have to use the tools at your disposal. And even, you know, bringing a portable recorder and everybody bringing a thumb drive. Who in this day and age doesn't have a thumb drive?
Yeah.
You know?
My favorite thing to do is, with newer bands, I'll set up my phone, you know what I mean, and record it, because the iPhone mic is not that bad, you know what
No,
I mean?
It like, isn't. The audio that I actually just used for my Rush podcast that I did.
Yeah.
Excuse me. A review of the Rush R40 tour. Was recorded straight on my cell phone.
Nice.
And it's quality audio.
Yeah,
like, you can hear the drums. It's amazing what you can get on a cell phone nowadays.
Yeah.
So even that, any kind of reference recording is huge.
Yeah.
As far as the writing process goes. And for me, you know, using tools like that, portable recorders, anything like that, CD recorder is what I actually used for most of the bands that I worked with.
Wow.
You know, it lived in a little half rack in my portable case, and it came with me, and at the end of the thing, I brought my duplicator with me that's sitting right down there. And everybody would walk off with a CD of rehearsal. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
There it is.
Wow.
You know, and I would try to track it out as much as possible.
Oh, with the mixers and stuff?
Well, I mean, I was the engineer for the band most of the time, okay. So... it behooved me to be at rehearsal just as much. A lot of the times I worked with jam bands, things like that. So
you want to know how to flow.
Yeah, I mean,
like
you really got to know where they're flowing, where they're going, what's good. Oh, I know that chord.
Yeah.
And it's dissonant for a reason. We're going here.
Yeah.
You know, and there's your vocal mix and everything else. Yeah. So I was already set up for instant recording. You know, my bands, anywhere we went, it was, hey, fans, bring your thumb drive and you walk off with an instant digital copy.
Oh, wow. That's actually cool to bring.
Too, yeah, yeah. Right? It's fun. It's great because for the fans, you know, every show is different.
Mm-hmm.
So if especially if you're in a jazz or jam band, something like that, number one, it's a great way to sell merch without actually having merch. Like, you're already doing it.
Yeah, you're just making
the
merch.
There.
You're just making
making merch on site. It's great. You know, I actually got written up in the Portland Press Herald as like visionary for bringing. I'm like, you know, Willie Nelson does this, right? Like, I'm not a genius.
Yeah.
I'm just providing it to a normal market, like in your local bar.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
But it's smart, too. I mean, because even building off of that is...
Well,
so
absolutely,
much.
And that's just it, you know, trying to find those little ways that that really set you apart as a band, you know, because a lot of the time I would bring my computer and we would live broadcast to the internet, you know, all kinds of stuff.
You could definitely do that now.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely, with the greatest of ease, and to not do it is almost a disservice.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, like, even if it is just a static camera shot, you know. For Grandma and Poughkeepsie to be able to tune in and watch you play, you know, I do it all the time at my wife's theater with her shows, and there's one of the guys that's in her shows frequently that's from São Paulo, Brazil. I literally do it for Francisco half the time because, dude, his parents get to watch him perform from Brazil.
That's so sweet.
Like,
dude.
I don't care if I see one, or technically it would be two on that viewership because... you being the broadcaster, you're one viewer.
It got touched. You know,
like there's that one person out there that is in São Paulo, Brazil that you know is watching the show.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
You know,
that is beautiful.
It's even that way with this podcast. You know, I was telling you before the show, it's gotten to where I've started getting some responses, some questions. The episode I was recording just before you got here was from a listener question who asked me, you know, what's your process for writing? And I literally went through my entire process from setting up a space to, like, that's the only reason you use that space.
Sure.
That way that energy is all that's being expended there. And it literally trains your brain that when you sit there, this is the end result.
Yeah.
This will happen.
That's key.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's literally about mentality and keeping that mentality. And, you know, once again... tell us the websites or the Facebooks, rather, for the bands that you're involved in, Jamal. And do you have any shows coming up?
I actually don't have any shows coming up that I know. Actually, I do. I lied.
Okay.
With the Wanderers, I'm playing June 19th at Rumi's Tavern in Leander, Texas.
Okay.
You should come out. And for the Wanderers, we actually don't have a Facebook, but you can look us up, Jeremy Booth or Jamal Knox on Facebook. We'll get you information there. And then Good Day Paradise, that's facebook.com/Good Day Paradise.
All right, fantastic. And while you're on the internet, everybody, please don't hesitate to stop on by and check us out, www.talkingsoundshow.com. There on the website, you can find all of the videos, the technical videos as well, that give you tips and tricks for audio, video. We have numerous articles from major manufacturers like Shure microphones, Mogami cables, Neve Audio, Rupert Neve Designs as well lets us repost articles. Also there, we have our Patreon page. Patreon is a great new service for artists, musicians, podcasters, bloggers. It basically allows your audience to be patrons. Instead of a normal fundraising campaign where you have to reach a certain goal, people can decide actually how much to donate to your cause.
Wow.
And we actually had one person who was kind enough to give us a large enough donation to make the HD upgrade for HD capture here in our studio.
Sweet.
And it's fantastic. People can choose as little as like $1 a month. To donate to your cause.
That's awesome.
It's great. And you can make different campaigns, you know, like we have one for gear campaign, one for the monthly rent for the studio.
Wow.
All kinds of stuff. So it really allows people an interactive way to choose how to support you. So once
That's
again,
awesome.
Stop off by patreon.com/talkingsoundshow and feel free to give to the cause. On that note, everybody, our guest has been Jamal Knox. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Thanks for having
us. We hope to have you in again, especially with Good Day Paradise after the recording of the album.
Yes.
Everything else, we definitely want to have you guys in to talk about that whole process and the release of it. I am Christopher Jordan, your host. And until next time, everybody, keep reaching for 11. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Sound.